Today we're going to begin our study on the spiritual gift of faith, and before we get too far down the road, we must understand the foundations in the New Testament regarding faith and what God says faith will bring to a human if it's found in Christ. In other words, if the faith that you have is in Christ, this is the path that the Lord has chosen to bring spiritual remedy to the plights of humans. And humans are born with a sinful nature, as we know that we've inherited our sinful nature from our forefather Adam, and that led to many tragedies. Our spiritual separation from God, our inherent disobedient nature, our wayward ways, our deceptive ways, and the judgment of sin that was given to Adam has passed on to us. And without Christ, there is no hope for a man that's on earth. He cannot have salvation. He cannot have fellowship with God. He cannot deliver himself from Satan's captivity. Amen. And God teaches us in the Holy Scriptures in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that through faith and by grace, you are saved. Saved from yourself, saved from Satan, and ultimately saved from the second death. So faith has it is a foundation stone that must be understood. Now, we're not studying faith in that light today in depth, but we must understand the foundation of faith before you can talk about the gift of faith. And as I said earlier today, God does not give the gift of faith to a man that's walking in a wayward way. In faith, the gift of faith will no doubt create a good testimony declaring God's faithfulness. If a man has the gift of faith, he'll be walking in the way of righteousness. And because without faith, the Bible declares it is impossible to please God. There's a law in the scripture in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, that you must understand before you can understand anything about faith. And I want to read it to you here. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Romans 4:20. Well, this is kind of the foundation here. Let's look at this. In Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, it says, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." In verse 22, it says, "And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him." It says, "But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." And here is a foundation that you must understand, that no man who's walking in unbelief can ever express faith. No man who's walking in unbelief can ever express faith. Now, it's so important that we understand that the Bible teaches us that through faith we have been justified before a holy God. Now, you've heard me talk about this. So what I want you to see is that by faith we have access into God's grace. In other words, faith is the gateway in which you may access, in other words, faith in Christ is the gateway in which you may access the grace of God whereby you become saved. So key point here is that people can say Jesus is Lord, but unless they understand that he bore the full weight of what was required for you to have soul salvation, amen. It takes faith expressed in him before you can tap into the grace whereby you are saved. And it kicks back to the danger of unbelief. Now think of the Israelites. They wandered in the desert for 40 years, and they died in the desert because what they did not apply faith to what they had heard, right? In other words, their unbelief buried them. Amen. The gospel was of no benefit to them because they did not believe it. The salvation that's found in Christ alone will be of no benefit unless you express exclusive faith in Christ the Savior. So it's by faith in Christ that you, whereby you gain access into the grace whereby you become saved. So faith is critical to soul salvation. Faith is critical in terminating unbelief, because faith comes from belief. And if you have unbelief, you do not have belief. If you have, and you whereby you must have belief in order for you to have faith. Okay? Because faith produces, belief produces faith. And if you have unbelief, you will not have any faith. Correct? And if you have no faith, you cannot enter the grace whereby you are saved. So understanding that faith is a critical foundation in soul salvation, you're going to learn in just a minute, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, you can go ahead and turn there, that that faith is critical for us to be justified before God. Now let me just take you to the scripture here in Romans chapter 5. It says, and I was just close there in Romans 4, talking about Abraham's faith. Well, Abraham heard God, believed God, and his faith was accredited to him as righteousness. Now, it's so important that you understand that this faith that Abraham had was that he knew and understand the law, that no flesh shall be justified by the law. In other words, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight by keeping the law. But you can enter into receiving righteousness with that's imputed to you by expressing faith. So in other words, keeping the law, the Bible declares that no one by keeping the law will be justified before a holy God. Amen. No one by keeping the law will be justified by keeping the law. But it's by faith that Abraham was declared the father of faith. It was by faith, his faith was accredited. In other words, it was what God desired of him. Now, how did that faith that Abraham expressed, how did that come to him? It came to him through his childlike belief that God, who spoke, was faithful to keep his promise no matter what the circumstance. Amen. Amen. Sister Holly, in a few days, is going to be going to Mount Moriah, the very place where Abraham went up the hill and offered Isaac as an offering. And if you remember the story, Abraham's faith caused him to declare what he believed, not what he was seeing. He did not see, at the base of the mountain, he did not see the ram. He was not until he was already ready to kill the boy, did the ram show up. Here's the key point as you are studying today about the gift of faith. Let me tell you something. You will not see provision until faith is expressed. Abraham is the perfect example of that. The essence of faith is that you have a quiet confidence in the Lord that God, no matter what anyone says or what you see, has the power to keep his word. That God is faithful in all his ways. God is a promise keeper, period. God keeps his word. God is power to make all things work together to keep his word. And no man can resist it. No devil can push it back. When God declares something, it is sure. It's that is what moved Abraham up the hill. That moved him. He was expressing faith unbridled when he took that boy and went up that hill. That faith was unchecked because he knew that even if he slayed the boy, that God would raise him from the dead and fulfill his promise to him. It's in your faith in Christ that Christ died for your sins. And that when you die, the same God that provided the ram in the bush for Abraham is the same God that's going to call you by name and raise you out of the grave, and you're going to experience the resurrection of the righteous. That is the kind of faith God wants, and that faith will guarantee you a warm welcome into the eternal abode of King of Kings.
Amen.
So it's essential that you understand that faith is critical to all things with God. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So here in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Let me just say what I want to say, and I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to say it again. Is by faith we have been justified and have peace with God. The word justified in this sense, in this context, it's a forensic term. It is judicial in nature, and it means to be declared blameless before a holy God. To be declared blameless before a holy God. What you must understand is that in order for God to declare you justly blameless, a just payment must have been made on your account. And there's only one provision that will satisfy the wrath of God, that will meet the due and just penalty for sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And therefore there must have been a death. And Christ died for our sins. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, it says, as a matter of first importance, Christ died for your sins. It's your faith in the Christ that laid his life down that God says, now that I will accept. And because of your faith in the soul salvation work of my son, his blood being the only acceptable payment, the only payment that I accept for your sin, when you put your faith in him and what he did for you, I will accept his sacrifice on your account, and therefore I can justly declare you blameless before me.
Amen.
That is the essence of justification by faith, not by the letter of the law. The letter kills. No man will be justified before a holy God by keeping the law. It is by faith that the righteousness that Abraham was accredited was imputed. It was imputed not only unto him, but to all those who walk after Abraham's walk. In other words, if you express faith like Abraham, it's that kind of faith that God imputes righteousness by faith. And so here it is, in essence, therefore, having been justified by faith, what is the consequence of being declared blameless by God? What is the consequence? How is faith connected to it? Well, it says here, therefore, having been justified, having been declared blameless. What does it say? Declared blameless by what? Declared blameless by what?
Faith.
By faith. Faith comes from belief. And you believing that God has provided his son, that God came to earth, that God wrapped himself in flesh, that God took himself to the cross, that God suffered a horrific death for you. When you go there, God says, now I'm going to accept your expression, your belief, which is producing a faith like Abraham. I'm going to impute righteousness before my holy court on you.
Amen.
Which results in, verse 2, it says, which results In verse 1b, it says, we have peace with God, but through. In other words, you have access into the grace of God, which is provided by the Son of God, because the Bible says that Moses brought forth the law and the prophets, but Christ only has brought forth grace and truth. And so remember, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that you were saved by grace, but through faith. And the only way to have this access into the grace whereby you are saved, you must express faith. And what I'm saying is you must have Abraham's faith before you can receive the imputed righteousness of God, whereby you have peace with God. In verse 2, it says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. You are standing in a state of grace. It's not that grace is going to come to you. Grace has come to you. It came to you by Christ. And when you believe in Him and you put the full burden of the weight of your soul salvation on Christ, God says, that's enough.
Amen.
That is enough. And when Jesus says it is finished, it was in the perfect Greek tense. He said nothing can be added to it. Nothing you can't add to it. You can't add to my work.
No.
I'll have none of it.
No,
what did he say? He said it is finished. In other words, when you express faith like Abraham in the soul salvation work of the crucifixion of my Son, it is finished.
Amen.
You have crossed over from death unto life, St. John 5:24. You have crossed over. You cross over through the cross. How do you get there? You must express faith coming from childlike belief, which gains you access into the grace whereby you are saved through Christ alone.
Amen.
Therefore, having peace with God. This faith that we have talked about here today, it opens the way for this righteousness that we call the righteousness by faith. What's the distinction of righteousness by faith? Well, it's simple. The distinction is quite clear. In fact, it's childlike. It's apart from works. This faith that God wants you to express has nothing to do with your religion. Has nothing to do with your performance cycles, which are variable. It has nothing to do with you.
Amen.
It's a righteousness that is by faith in Christ, period. Saints, rest in that. Rest. Enter the Sabbath rest of the Most High God. Enjoy this state of grace whereby you stand, that you've gained access by expressing faith. It teaches us that in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it reads like this. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 4, now to him who works, wages are not counted. The wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. Right? It says here in verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. There it is, right there. Who justifies the ungodly. His faith is accounted for righteousness. In verse 6, just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from the works. Verse 7 and 8 sums it up. It says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. That's the essence, if you will, of the fruit of faith like Abraham. Now, what was it that gave Abraham that quality? He had childlike belief. Childlike belief. My God, no matter what I see, is able to keep his promise.
Amen.
My God, no matter what I see, is able to keep his promise. God is faithful. God is the promise keeper. God is able, through his divine power, to make all things work together to fulfill his purposes.
Amen.
Saints, it's so important that you understand that soul salvation is directly related to you putting your complete, exclusive trust for soul salvation on Christ alone. The Bible declares distinctly that there's no other name by where a man can be saved.
Amen.
Except the name of Jesus. And there's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Do you see it all leads back? When you start talking about justification, you start talking about imputed righteousness, you're talking about righteousness by faith, distinct from works on earth. All of these things point to the work of Christ being the true source of soul salvation. It is required of men to express faith in order to receive this divine work of Christ and the benefit thereof. In other words, you're not going to experience soul salvation if you don't have childlike belief, and you will not express faith that produces works until you have pure childlike belief. You will be idle before God, and therefore you're not expressing faith like Abraham.
Amen.
So when you truly believe God, it moves you to worship in truth, in spirit, indeed. And this kind of faith produces a testimony of the faithfulness of God, and whereby it gives you a great witness and a testimony of yourself in God. In other words, faith creates a great testimony and legacy for you to display before men. See, it says in James chapter 2, verse 24, that we see then that Abraham was not justified by faith alone, but by works also. The justification is distinct there, meaning he was justified before God in the judicial sense because of his faith expressed. But for you and I, we are justified before God because of a sacrifice, because of the sacrifice that Christ provided. God provided the ram, God provided the Christ, and whereby we stand in the New Testament under grace, because grace and truth came into the world through Christ. Moses brought forth the law and the prophets. We stand in Christ.
Amen.
In faith.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
The beauty of it. The beauty is all it's all pointing to the sacrifice of the very Lamb of God. It's when a person is expressing this that he becomes qualified in order to be a recipient of the gift of faith, which is our study today. And as you look into, if you look at the definition of faith, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 and 38. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 37. It says here, in verse 37, Hebrews 10:37, says, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." What's it pointing to? The return of our King. But let me submit this to you. Christ has already come to you.
Amen.
And you have already come to Christ.
Amen.
So the second coming is a beautiful prophetic event whereby you must rejoice, because it is the forerunner for the millennial reign. But for those of us who have faith in Christ, Christ has already come to you.
Amen.
And you have already come to Christ. And the blessed Holy Spirit has already come to you. And you and I are on our way to go to Him.
Amen.
So this scripture is pointing to the second coming. But for the body of Christ, for those of us that are alive in this generation, that have put our trust in the salvation work of Christ exclusively, Christ has already come to you. In verse 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." I can tell you by personal testimony, this scripture has kept me from quitting. Luke 9:62 says, "If a man begins to plow and looks back, he is of no use to the kingdom of God." Luke 9:62. As we're defining faith, let me sum it up for you in a simple way. Faith is a quiet confidence in the God who has all power to keep His word for you. A quiet confidence in a God.
Amen.
Who has all power to keep His word to you. It says, talking about the danger of falling back or drawing back, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith." And faith is always pointing forward. Faith is never looking back. Faith is always pointing heavenward. Faith is never looking downward. Faith has a confidence in God, not in you. Faith has a confidence in the Lord's power, not your power. Faith is a confidence in God being greater than the problem, but greater than the trouble, greater than the sin, greater than the devil. Faith has confidence in the Lord.
Amen.
Not in what you see. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back..." What's an example of drawing back? Becoming neutral. Becoming apathetic to sin. God understands. No, He doesn't. He crucified His own Son. Do you think He understands? Don't think that.
Amen.
That's a lie. Someone deceiving you. It says, "But we," in verse 39, "but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, unrighteousness, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Now, in the definition of sin, it's revealed here in verse 1 and 2. Chapter 11, verse 1. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for." Now, let me explain that. It's critical to understand that hope is an essential component of your faith. You need faith. You need faith for what you cannot see, not for things you can see.
Amen.
So, therefore, faith expressed also has hope as a critical component. See, you cannot see heaven. You cannot see God's holy throne. You cannot see the angels all around you. But it's in your faith in the Word of God, in the Christ of the Bible, in the promise of God, in the God of the Bible, that allows you to see the angels all around you, that allows you to pray to the one you cannot see, allows you to move forward based on confidence in Him and His sovereignty and His power over all things on earth and in heaven. Therefore, whereby you move forward, not based on the words of men, based on the confidence in God. That's what moves us. And so when you think that soul salvation, redemption, justification, a righteousness by faith, imputed righteousness, regeneration, none of these supernatural divine works of God come to a man who does not believe that God exists, who refuses to pray because he thinks that God is not listening or there is no God. None of the supernatural events that takes place on a man's sinful debt account takes place in anyone who does not express faith.
Amen.
So faith is foundational. But this kind of faith that I'm talking about has to be expressed, and it is definitely a qualification for someone to have the gift of faith. How is God going to give the gift of faith to someone who's on the fence? With the basics, Repentance. Repentance from dead works. Repentance from blatant sin. How is he going to use a man or woman who refuses to do basic instruction? He's not. So here we see in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As I said recently when we were talking about the gift of discernment, a believer has insight. A believer has word sight. A believer has future sight. A believer has hindsight based on the historical accounts. A believer has hindsight based on personal testimony. A believer has your faith is created out of your belief in the new of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, of the divine works of God in your life and the divine works of God in my life. Now, when you hear a testimony, it encourages you. It encourages us, right?
Yes.
Surely it does. I love hearing testimonies of God at work in people's lives because it encourages me to see God is at work even now in us. He's at work, saints. Trust me. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He does not take rest. His work is ongoing and his prophetic calendar is moving at an accelerated rate. You're living in a time that even the angels look forward to when all things are going to come under him. You look around now, you think, how can that be? There is evil on every door, evil in every nation, and things are out of control and chaos. But I can assure you, there's one thing that you can know for sure. He is in control. Here it is in verse 1. So we understand that faith is a quiet confidence in the God who has power to keep promise. Yes? We understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So let's look a little deeper as we want to see biblical New Testament examples of faith being expressed in a righteous way. Now, I want you to understand that by faith in Christ, you will create a good witness. People who do not have faith do not declare a pure witness before God.
Yes.
So faith is critical to you creating a good witness. Some things, all things are permissible. Not everything is beneficial. That's the reason that you avoid even the appearance of evil so that your testimony will remain pure before men. And so Hebrews 11:2 talks about by faith in Christ you will create a good witness, which creates a good testimony. It's good witness that creates good testimony. Catch that. Good witness creates good testimony. And you have to understand that your life is a testimony to the faithfulness of our God.
Amen.
And so when we walk around in worry, what are you testifying of? You're testifying that you don't trust God and that he's not trustworthy. You got to see worry as an enemy. Fear of the future is an enemy to a good testimony. Fear of the future is an enemy to a good witness. You must check fear, worry, doubt, mental suffering. All those things need to be checked at the door of faith. And you can check it by expressing childlike faith in God, whom you cannot see, knowing that he is faithful and has power to be with you. Here it is in Hebrews 11:2. It says, speaking of faith, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. The elders, the hall of faith, the faithful. Here's example after example after example after example in Hebrews 11 of people expressing faith. We're going to look at a few. Here it is in Hebrews 11:3. Let me read it to you and we'll talk about it. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What is that pointing to? Do you know why you have people lost in confusion, it takes more faith to believe evolution than it does to believe the Lord. We have so much evidence. But here it is. By faith we understand that all things visible were created by the invisible Creator. You see? That's faith. See, I'm expressing faith that the invisible God who's revealed himself to me has power to create and did create all things that I see, including myself in the mirror. Amen. And that soon, very soon, I'm going to see in the visible realm the one to whom I pray, to whom I cannot see now. So it takes faith expressed in order to believe the creation story. No one who has no faith or kind of maybe sort of faith is expressing Abraham's faith. Now, what about what kind of faith does it take to believe that God created all things? Childlike belief. Amen. Evidence is all around. The Bible says men are of no excuse because the gospel itself is preached in the stars. Here, next in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he, being dead, still speaks. Let me tell you something. God watches what you give.
Amen.
What about the woman who burst into the meeting with the disciples and fell on her face and wept on the feet of Jesus and then dried his feet with her tears? I can tell you that what that woman did is still being told today. And what Abel did is still being told today. So God watches what you give. And the man who's tight-fisted is faithless. You know why? Because he thinks that he created that and it got into his hand by his power and that it had nothing to do with God. But I want you to know what the Bible says differently. In St. John chapter 3, verse 27, a man can receive nothing unless it is given, catch that, given to him from heaven.
Amen.
So all things that you have, your breath, your heartbeat, as Miss Pearl talked about, the things that only God can give you, those things have been given to you. And through that strength, you create the things such as wealth and all the other things that have come to you by God. God opened that door. God opened that door. Let me say it again. God opened that door for you. God opened that door for you. And so faith, the essence of my understanding, and I believe will encourage us in our faith today, is that by faith you are able to understand that all things that you have came from God, which causes you to count God worthy of your very best sacrifices. Let me tell you something, saints. If you're like this with the Lord, you have a faith issue.
Amen.
And a control issue. God has entrusted all things into your hands, and that makes you a steward over his resources. And if you're tight-fisted with the Lord, you got to check self-righteousness, selfishness, and unbelief. And there's definitely a critical faith issue going on. So Abel, his offering was counted as a good witness, as a righteous witness. What he gave was found acceptable.
Amen.
Because he gave it with a pure, free heart. With love.
Yes.
Without grumbling. Without the grudging in the heart, the complaining in the heart. These few examples that I just gave you out of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 5 or 1 through 4, are examples of people who have the gift of faith.
Amen.
The gift of faith. It creates a good testimony. It declares your trust in the sovereign power of God, knowing that he is faithful to perform whatever it takes to keep his own word to you and to his own character, God is faithful.
Amen.
And he gives the gift of faith
yes.
to such as those. Thanks for letting me share.